MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen Colbert!
Oh, wow. Come on. I like it, though. Come on.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Sparkles?
Yes.
Good to see you.
Seat. Welcome, one and all, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert, and I am coming to you. We are broadcasting to you on an historic night because our nation's leaders were finally to answer one of the thorniest questions facing our country. Should we have roads? Today, President Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure bill, surrounded by members... Surrounded by members of both parties, Bob the Builder, Thomas the Tank Engine, and Truckosaurus. The bill provides funding for everything that makes this country go. Public transportation, roads, bridges, ports, railways, power grids, and broadband internet. Broadband!
That's everything.
That means, thanks to Joe Biden, more Americans will have access to high-speed internet, which means quicker load times for all their QAnon conspiracy theories. I hear Joe Biden's actually just a sack of flour aliens put in a suit. Fixing all of that cannot start soon enough, because after decades of inaction, at least 45,000 bridges nationwide are currently rated in poor condition. Wow. Follow-up, which ones? Is it possible for Waze to tell us ahead of time?
Turn left and cross the Roanoke Bridge. But first, you got to ask yourself a question. Do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Here's the thing. Funding roads and bridges didn't used to be such a big deal. In 1956, the original legislation that created the interstate highway system had strong bipartisan support because, as then-President Eisenhower famously said, who doesn't want to go vroom vroom real fast? But now, not so much. Our politics are so partisan, so broken, that the GOP House members who voted in favor of infrastructure were targeted by their own party to strip them of their House committee assignments and even got death threats. Okay, are we just death-threatening everything these days? Pretty soon, we're going to need a new greeting card section. Death to a special nephew on his birthday. President Biden needs this infrastructure win right now because the only thing crumbling faster than our roads is his approval rating, which the ABC Washington Post Pillsbury Toaster Strudel poll proved just dropped to a new low of 41%, which means, in total, he's lost 11 points in approval since spring. The only person with approval plummeting faster is Jake Gyllenhaal. Give her back her scarf, Jake! Give the girl back her scarf! But Biden's not letting things like the approval of the American people get him down, saying he intends to run for re-election in 2024, even though he'd be 86 at the end of his second term. Meaning he'd be the first president to switch the red phone over to consumer cellular. This button, hold on, shh. This button dials 911. This one dials my grandson. And this one bombs Iran. Oops, I think I just bombed my grandson. Hold on, better call 911. Now, if Biden do not run, the next person in line would obviously be Vice President Kamala Harris. Only one teensy problem. I agree. Lovely, lovely person. One problem. Last week, her approval dipped to 28%. To put that into perspective, the movie Batman versus Superman has an approval rating of 29%. So Kamala Harris is 1% less popular than watching 2.5 hours of Batman and Superman wrestle each other, then realize their moms have the same first name, so they decide to be friends. People close to Harris say she's frustrated with Biden for handing her no-win issues like the border crisis. Wait, what? You're telling me that being vice president is a thankless job with no real power? Your response, Vice President Meyer?
You think?
But Harris claims, yes, Vice President, why doesn't she run? I would vote for her. But Harris claims she's not worried about 2024 right now and is instead focused on being Joe Biden's Joe Biden. Okay, that sounds rambly and repetitive, so goal achieved. Oh, hey. Hey, you guys. Hey, you guys remember January 6th? There may finally be some accountability for attempting to destroy democracy. Just a little. A little bit would be nice. Just a soupçon. Because on Friday, a federal grand jury indicted Steve Bannon on contempt charges. It's real. Wow. Steve Bannon might finally face justice, and if he goes to prison, take a shower. This morning, Bannon surrendered to the FBI in Washington, and during the perp walk, he said this.
I just want to say, tell everybody, it live stream on Getter right now. Everybody watching in the war room, we're here today. I don't want anybody to take their eye off the ball of what we do every day. Okay, you got Raheem Ghassan today. You got Dr. Peter Navarro, Captain Bannon.
He did a promo for his podcast on his way to jail. Reminds me of when the press pool surrounded Lee Harvey Oswald.
I'd just like to say I am a patsy. And the host of Big Lee Harvey's Morning Zoo Crew with Castro and the Gooch.
You never hear about that. Nobody talks about that part. Now, this is a very complicated legal case. Okay, let me see if I can break it down for you. Okay, Congress subpoenaed Bannon to testify. He said no, and that's illegal. Okay, it's less complicated than I thought. Bannon refused to testify because the former president directed him, quote, not to produce documents or give testimony that might reveal information. And now Bannon's facing up to 2 years in prison out of loyalty to this guy, which is surprising considering the former president once tweeted, Sloppy Steve Bannon cried when he got fired and begged for his job. Now Sloppy Steve has been dumped like a dog by almost everyone. Too bad. So let me get this straight. That's the guy you're going to jail for. Steve, it's time to meet me at the He's Just Not That Into You camp. Look. Steve, did you hear what he said about you the second it was convenient? Respect yourself and move on. I mean, look at you. No, don't do that. Look. Don't do that. I know you miss him, but there are plenty of other dictators in the sea. Plus, you're never going to get back the scarf that you left at his sister's house. And yes, I may have listened to Red Taylor's version too many times this weekend. The point is, there's no need to go to jail for Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, the former president. Now, Congress, I listen to it a lot. Not everyone, clearly. Congress subpoenaed Bannon to hear about the lead-up to the January 6th and the behavior of the former president, Genghis Khan. And we're learning more about it every day thanks to Jonathan Carl's book, Betrayal. Carl just released audio of a conversation for the book in which the former president confirms that he called Mike Pence the P-word.
There was a report, excuse my language, not mine, it was in the report, that you talked to him that morning and you said you could be a patriot or you can be a Did you really say that, or is that a incorrect?
I wouldn't dispute it.
Really?
I wouldn't dispute it.
Well, we all know the word for someone who does exactly what their bully tells them to do, patriot. Carl also asked the former president if he was worried about his Veep during the attack on the Capitol.
Were you worried about him during that siege? Were you worried about his safety?
No, I thought he was well protected, and I had heard that he was in good shape.
Of course he was in good shape. Running away from a mob is excellent cardio. Carl continued.
You heard those chants. That was terrible. I mean, just, you know,
he could have. Well, the people were very angry.
They're saying, hang my
Because pants. It's common sense.
Oh, yeah. It's just common sense. We all remember that sign up in Dad's workshop. Measure twice, hang Mike Pence. But Carl's isn't the only new book spilling the tea. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has written one called Republican Rescue, Saving the Party from Truth Deniers, Conspiracy Theorists, and the Dangerous Policies of Joe Biden. One of those threats is not like the others. We must stand up against anti-vaxxers, QAnon followers, and rural broadband. In the book, Christie reveals the severity of his own coronavirus infection, one he caught after being at the White House around the same time that the ex-president and several other aides contracted COVID-19. It makes sense. You hang around that White House, you're going to get exposed to some nasty stuff. Also, COVID. While hospitalized, Christie got a call from the former president who didn't ask how he was doing, but instead asked, "Are you going to say you got it from me?" That's a hell of a friend. It's like signing someone's cast. Tell anyone I threw you down the stairs and I'll break the other arm. We got a great show for you tonight.
After the break, Stephen has Beatlemania.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to see you. John, we have such a wonderment of guests this evening.
I saw this.
We're starting off tonight. We're starting off strong and hot.
Oh yeah.
With
sexy.
People's sexiest. Go ahead.
Sexy.
People's sexiest man alive, Mr. Paul Rudd's
gonna be out there. There you go.
We've had to have this couch over here. We've had to have a Scotch garden just so we can hose off the sexy afterwards.
That's right, it's true.
So anyway, we're gonna have sexy overload tonight. We should have some structural engineers brought in here just to check out the sexy rafters. We have sexy rafters? No. But hey, listen, John, also, have you checked out the Late Show podcast?
Yes, it's the show.
It's the show. But a podcast.
Yes.
Late Show Pod Show.
That's right.
And we have that. And
yes,
please
it's
go.
Available.
It's available.
People
it's burning
can...
up the charts.
There it is.
It is, right? It is burning. It is actually burning up the charts. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of people right now who are tomorrow listening to our conversation right now about there being a podcast on the podcast. And they're all going, yeah, we know it's a podcast. I'm listening to the podcast right now.
Yes.
Get on with the show.
I like that.
Am I allowed to talk to John about the Beatles thing?
No.
Why can't I talk to John about the Beatles thing?
You signed an NDA.
No, but I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to give anything. Here's the thing, Paul. Not Paul, John.
Oh, my God.
Bingo, George. I watched the entire Get Back Beatles documentary that Peter Jackson cut this weekend. Lord have mercy. It is, I cannot, I want to watch it with the musician. It is so beautiful. It is so intimate. It is, A, I love the Beatles. B, I love watching process, how things get made. And C, I love how it makes these great artists so complexly and messily human with each other and how much they love each other. It's going to rewrite how people think about how the Beatles ended. Oh. They just absolutely love each other.
Wow.
And they just had to stop. It's extraordinary. It's not going to be the same. Do you know that Billy Preston wasn't supposed to be on? I can't give anything away.
Wait,
Billy Preston wasn't even supposed to be on the album. He was just stopping by because he was a friend of George Harrison's. Yeah.
Really?
He just walks in, and they're like, hey, we were just talking about we needed some piano here, but we're trying to do everything live, so we can't do overdub. Somebody's got to play the piano.
Right.
Could you do that? And he goes, sure. A lot of smoking. And he starts playing, and they're like, great, you're in the band. And he laughs, and he goes, no, we're serious. You're in the band. And he goes, they said, like, are you okay? Could you be here for the rest of the month working with us? And he goes, all right. Like that. And he changes the entire atmosphere of the band. He elevates everything. It's so beautiful to watch.
Man.
You're not going to believe it.
See that.
Yeah.
You have... Can you share it?
I cannot.
Okay.
Because them Disney Plus are serious. I'm not joking.
It's Disney Plus.
Oh, it's Disney Plus. It's Disney Plus. Disney Plus, and not only... not only do you, like, have to get a link... And then you have to sign in with a special code that you like have signed up with, and then that goes to some a special code goes to someone else, and that person has to text it to you within 30 seconds of them receiving it.
Wow.
You've got to get it and put it in, and then you can watch it.
Yes.
But God help you if you pause for any length of time, because then you got to do the process over and over again, and you have to sign an NDA. I've never done that before. I've never gone to watch something and an NDA came up and I had to legally sign it. Like, have you read this? Sign the NDA so you won't go on TV and tell John Batiste that Billy Preston wasn't supposed to be on the album. Have I just... What? Okay, so am I sued or fired? Which of the two? All right, well, listen, I just want to say that please... Everyone go watch it.
Sound like they got a lot of footage, a lot of access.
57 hours.
57 hours?
57 hours of footage cut down to about 8 hours.
Man.
Yeah. Just so beautiful to see Paul come in for the first time and go, well, I wrote this last night, see if you like it. And he goes, like, when I find myself in times. And they're just going, trying to figure out what they would play. And we want to scream at the TV, it's the greatest song ever written. Everybody shut up and just listen.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's a gift to creators.
I don't have time. I have to go now, right? We should probably do a commercial break. We should do a commercial break. All right. We'll be right back with the sexiest man alive, Paul Rudd.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
You are too kind. Thank you.
It is,
Thank you. Thank you.
Standing ovation.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Blown away.
Well, by law, you're not allowed to sit while the sexiest man is standing.
Oh.
You can't. Congratulations. Congratulations has been named People Magazine's. Here we have it right here. People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive.
You're embarrassing me. Please, I don't want to make a big deal of this thing.
So it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed you at all?
No.
Still the same guy?
I'm just honored to be recognized for something besides my talent and humility.
Well, there have been a lot of headlines about it. There's been a lot of reaction. It's one of those things, and this is one of the reasons I was so excited, you know, to partner with you for this announcement last week is, please, yeah, make yourself comfortable. Do you want me to take that?
It feels rude to wear a tiara indoors.
I'll put this in the box. I'll put this in the box down here.
All right.
Thank you.
Leave it on.
If they're good, you can put it back on.
All
right. Put it back on. It's oddly one of the things that everyone still cares about. Like the Time Man of the Year, who gives a damn? But Sexiest Man Alive, it still has a cultural impact. First of all, I got to ask you the big question is, how do you become the sexiest man alive other than being sexy? Like, how do you find out?
Well, I found out. I got an email about it. And I had to...
A cold email.
Like, out of the blue.
You didn't lobby for this.
No. I didn't even know. It was shocking. I had to read it. I said, what? I read it.
What does it say?
It says, well, congratulations. There's been an error in the judging.
Not at all.
But somehow.
Not at all. Not at all. Look, this says, this is The Guardian. Do you fancy Paul Rudd? You're either a sociopath or a liar if you say no. Look, come on.
Well, I would like to thank The Guardian, first of all, for hiring my mom.
Really? Yeah. You want your mom to say you're the sexiest man alive?
Well, no. The Guardian, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you read an article by The Guardian, if you ever read an Ardian, an article
that's
by The Guardian.
Called. That's what they're called.
At the end, I know, because I've read them online, and it says afterward, if you'd like to contribute to help, you know, journalism for The Guardian, we would appreciate it. So I think everybody should. I will.
New York Post wasn't as generous.
Now,
The New York Post, I want to point out, said that Chris Evans was going to be the sexiest man alive. You heard about this?
Well, that certainly makes sense. But
they said they had multiple sources. People said, no, don't run that. And they ran it, and they were wrong. And they're bitter, because they said, sorry, Paul Rudd is many things, but sexiest man alive is not one of them.
Well,
I'm sorry if that hurts.
Hey, that might be the first thing I ever read in the New York Post that I agree with. You know?
That fact checks?
That fact checks? That is not fake news.
Okay, so it's like Hogwarts. You just get the invitation. You don't have any warning.
No warning.
You're sexy, Harry! Okay.
Yeah, it was
great. I was honored to be part of the process of announcing that you had become the sexiest man alive.
Oh. Well, that was... That was fun. I was. Thank you for doing that.
I had a ton of... Well, it was an honor. It was an honor.
The honor was mine.
We have a clip here of part of the vetting process that you were put through to make sure that you had the sexy goods.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Jim?
Up. Pace. That's good. All right, sit proud, chin up. Okay, haunches. Okay, back. That's good. All right, okay, let's check those teeth and gums. There we go. Okay, let's check your coat. That's good. Okay, all right, and... That's good. All right, and arms. That arm, and that's good. That's good. And legs. That's legs. And hold it. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right.
My favorite part of it.
Yes?
Was.
You're a very good boy.
Thank you. I just loved how serious you are. Good. That's good. You were very, like...
Well, you got to look for symmetry.
Yeah.
Because there could be there's a fair amount of inbreeding in the sexiest man.
You're a tough judge, but...
Fair.
Yeah. I didn't know you were going to give me the raspberry on my stomach.
Well, that's reaction time. That's to judge reaction time.
But, yeah, and I guess to really be a good judge, you do have to check every part.
Sure.
And you did.
Yeah.
And
you got a hint of hip dysplasia. I'd watch that. I'd watch that.
Thank you for not, you know, holding that against me.
We have to take a quick break, but don't go away. When we come back, I will ask Paul about a story involving Seth Rogen and a massage.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive poll, I do want to point out that on the sexy at every age, under 57, who is the sexy man at 57?
Oh, I'm looking at him.
Stephen Colbert. Just saying. There's a story that Seth Rogen told this summer, and it has not been verified, it has not been fact-checked. Oh. No, as far as I know, you have not commented on this, and I want to get the scoop on this. Seth Rogen, this is a tweet of his. Okay. Once I was in the spa in a hotel in Vegas getting a massage. When I finished, I turned over, and to my shock, Paul Rudd was massaging me. He saw me go in and convinced the masseuse to let him take over, thinking I'd notice immediately. I didn't, and Paul did the entire rest of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Rudd, did that happen?
That totally happened. Yeah, that's true.
And what was the occasion that you were in the spa and then you saw Seth Rogen and went, walk me through it.
It was, I think we were filming a scene from Knocked Up and we had to shoot it in Las Vegas and we were in the gym spa, or like it was, we had hours before shooting and I knew he was getting a massage or went to get a massage and I just said to them, let me go in. I just went in during. He had just started.
Did you like tap her out and keep going?
Yeah,
so
I did.
Her hands were.
It was
here.
Like kind of like yeah,
a little bit. Like, I'll replace
it was
one
like
hand
an Indiana Jones, you know, when he takes the idol away and he puts the bag of sand. It was a kind of a. It was like a and I thought, oh, I'll just keep this going. And then but he just well, to be fair, he was face down, you know.
Sure.
And he rolled,
and
then yeah. Let's get real. Probably less of a comment on my own massaging ability than it is.
And did you like? Did you?
He was stoned out of his mind.
And did you, like, if he didn't, you must be pretty good.
I'm okay. I'm a pretty good masseuse.
Because it takes empathy to be a good masseur.
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
it wasn't. Imagine
when,
what that's feeling.
You know,
we rolled.
I was getting, you know, doing his shoulders and his arms, and then I was. And I'm like, he's not opening his eyes, And then I just started massaging his face. And it was like this, and this, and then eventually he kind of opened his eyes. He's like, whoa, and he... But it, I mean, I massaged him for like at least 40 minutes.
What's your go-to? Is it all thumbs? Is it elbows? How do you?
I can do both.
What?
No, like, do you have a knot?
Yes, I actually do. Actually,
where?
I pulled my in my shoulder, right up here.
All right.
From.
Hold on. I mean, if you like, you can lay down on the desk. This is the lavender scented Kleenex. So where is your knot?
Up left.
I'll find it.
So let's talk about Ghostbusters.
You got it.
Well, that's good. No, that's it. That's it right there.
So I've always, right there. Like everybody else, I was, you know, a fan of Ghostbusters. I love the film. I saw it when I was a kid.
And this is Ghostbusters Afterlife.
This
Ghostbusters
is. Afterlife. Oh yeah, no, that's. I'm in. Oh, yeah.
Right there. That's it. That's it.
Just
right
breathe
there.
Through it. Breathe through it. I'm gonna break it out. Now what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to break up the fascia.
Sure. Here, you got to release the lactic acid in there, right?
Yeah. So in the original, I was just blown away because it was funny, but it was scary. And
Paul, you know what this is?
What's this?
This is really sexy.
I think we're good. And I can just put the gratuity on the hotel room?
It's all included.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting back to Ghostbusters.
You feel loose now? You feel like a little...
I really do. I wish every guest would do this. Do you know who's not going to do this, who really should?
Sting.
That's exactly right. I bet...
You know You know for a fact.
Oh.
Sting will get your feet. Sting will get your knees, often overlooked.
Back of the knees. Back of the knees, yeah. We have to take another break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Paul Rudd.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
We're back with Paul Rudd. You're starring in Ghostbusters Afterlife. You, as you said when you were massaging me, always a fan of the ghostbusting.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite of those four guys? Because for me, it was Harold.
Oh, gosh, I'm such a huge Harold Ramis fan. I mean, that's a movie where really you watch it and go, every single person in it is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way and feel that way about everybody. I mean, including not just all of the Ghostbusters, but Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver, and I mean, you know, across the board. But it was interesting to, you know, all of a sudden, like, know this movie my whole life, and then, yeah, I get to work on it with Jason Reitman, whose father directed the original.
Sure.
And it did make me think about Harold Ramis.
Harold.
I knew him a little, yeah. I met him, actually, he played Seth's dad in Knocked Up, and he was a director. I worked on a movie he directed just for like a day or two, but he was such a lovely guy. And as you know, you're a comedy fan. I think any comedy enthusiast knows just what an important figure he is in the world of comedy.
Right. He was also Second City. And for those of us who were at Second City,
you
kind of picked a model. And Ramis was sort of a model
Ramis
for me.
Ramis did, yeah. I mean, such a brilliant guy. And Second City, and an incredible writer, an amazing director. I mean, his body of work that he left behind.
And just a lovely fellow.
The sweetest person. And there was, you know, I got to go out to dinner with him, and he was really forthcoming about his life and talking about, you know, different people he's worked with. And there was something kind of special. Just, I think if you entered his orbit a little bit, you kind of got sucked into it and thought, man, this guy's incredible. And so kind of being around all of this now, it makes me miss him.
We have a clip here. Can you tell us what's going on here?
No, I don't know what it is.
Okay. You're in a grocery store. I'll give
That's
you a
right.
hint.
I do know what it is. Yes. Yeah. I actually do. That was a flippant answer.
I did too, but we were playing that game.
Yeah.
Where I was allowing you to set up your movie.
But I really
when
did.
I could have done it, you
By
could
the way,
leave.
I really did forget what the clip was. This is, you know, I'm in a grocery store and
I don't
something's
care anymore.
Going. Yeah,
I don't
just
care
show
anymore.
The damn thing.
Play it.
Strawberry, red velvet, blue velvet.
Ghostbusters Afterlife is in theaters Friday, and The Shrink Next Door is streaming now on Apple TV+. Paul Rudd, everybody. You stay sexy, buddy.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount+. Follow follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.